We are delighted to be together to worship God, and it's a challenge to be a Christian, but it is fun every step of the way when we do it the way God wants it to be. And we have many responsibilities. One of those is to be praying, and we need to pray what's going on in the world right now because there's a civil war in Russia. I guess everybody's familiar with that. Unbelievable. But God says that's the way it's going to be before his return. He says there are going to be all sorts of fightings going on. So he says the end is not yet, so we need to continue doing what we're doing here today, and that is worshiping God and fulfilling his will in our lives, because there's a purpose of why we come to church. And we're going to focus on that a little bit more today, because Matthew chapter 10, as you see on the screen, verses 24 through 39, gives us more detail about what God is telling us we can expect as we are living the challenging Christian life. And just because something is challenging doesn't mean it is not fun, because God wants us to be filled with joy and to be rejoicing forevermore. So as you all are familiar, God tells us to count it all joy when we go through trials and tribulations. And I hardly know anybody that isn't going through some kind of a trial. That's just the way it is. And that is the way God designed it to be in this flesh. Because that is, see, God is preparing us for the future. And if he just gives you a gravy train all the way, you're not going to learn anything. You're not going to learn character. Because as we brought out last week, God is far more interested in your character than you being a character. I mean, than comfort. Because comfort is wonderful, and it's nice to have that comfort, but character lasts forever, because that's what's involved in your spirit when it returns to God, when you die, and then it's going to be put in your spirit body. When you have a permanent spirit body, and Jesus Christ is going to make you perfect. And he is in the process now of teaching us. So let's take a look at how we can become more like our teacher, our best friend, our savior. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24 and begin with prayer. Father, as we've already asked you to be here with us, but God, we want to become that house of prayer that we are praying without ceasing. You are our savior. You are our focus. You're our best friend. You are our team leader. You're our teacher. You are our God, and you're our best friend. And God, we just continue to look to you 24/7, because without you, we can do absolutely nothing. And without you, we wouldn't have a future. We wouldn't even be here. And so we give you all the praise, God, and we continue to look to you to guide us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 24 tells us a student is not above his teacher. And a student, actually the word there is doulos, which means a slave. God wants us to be like a slave in a way where we are so devoted that we just do exactly what Jesus Christ commands us to do. Because you know what? That's exactly what Jesus does. He says, I do. You can read it in the last part of John chapter 14, I believe it is. I do exactly what my Father in heaven commands me to do. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to do exactly what Jesus Christ commands us to do. So he's going to give us some instructions here that are going to be off the charts. And that's why we are calling it revolutionary responsibilities of true Christians. So a student or a slave or whatever it is that is hired to do the job, God has called us to fulfill a mission. The Great Commission, you know that in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, to go and make disciples of all nations. That's what Jesus was doing. He was going out. You can read earlier here. In verse 35 of chapter 9, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. And so Jesus was always looking out for others. He wants us to be like him. When the whole world is that, where everybody is looking out for each other, caring for each other, looking up to each other, and this is what God is looking for. And we are in training now to do that, to become caring, loving, Christ-like individuals that Jesus Christ can give power to take over the world. Because when he comes back, that's what he's going to do. He's going to take over the world. And we're going to be kings and priests and reign on the earth, Revelation 5:10. So we have a mission that is critical to the salvation of this whole world. And God loves this world, and he wants us to love everybody in the world just like he does. And so he says, a student or a slave is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a student to be like his teacher and the servant like his masters. God isn't wanting us to be something that is greater than what he's already set an example for. He just says, I came here to show you how to live. If you can be like me, that's what I'm looking for. And he shows us how to do that, because you and I can't do that. But he makes it possible, as we're going to see, and as you already know from previous sermons as well. So if the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, that's what they called Jesus, they said, well, you know, he does works by the prince of demons. When you start doing what is right, you have an enemy. When you start worshiping Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, you are going to have an enemy. And that enemy is out to eat your lunch. Now, we don't have to be afraid of him. We're going to see that. We don't have to be afraid of him at all. But you need to be aware, because if you don't ask for protection, he might just eat your sandwich. So you don't have to worry about it. Just make sure you're doing exactly what God says. He says to pray, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil. We need to ask for God's protection 24/7, because we are living in a world that is run by the God of this world, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, in 2 Corinthians 4:4. So Satan is the one who is out to get us. He is the one that wants to persecute you, and he's going to use other people. He'll use people in your household. He'll use people at your work. He'll use people on the street. Anybody that knows you, that's what his goal is. And the only way you don't get persecuted is you keep your mouth shut. Jesus didn't keep his mouth shut. He was always glorifying God. Now, how you go about that can determine how God is going to bless you, because there's lots of ways that we want to talk about today on how you can fulfill the Great Commission, because Jesus went everywhere. He was always sharing the good news. One of the biggest things that people need is a friend. And if we're just home alone, doing our own thing, doing what we want to do and watching TV and never doing anything to help anybody in any way, manner, shape, or form, that is a Christian failure, because that's not what Christians are for. Christians are here to become like Jesus. And if you want to know how to become like Jesus, you have to read the book, because that tells you exactly how to do it. And we're going to read the scriptures that give us the insight. And he wants us to share the good news. Now, the best way to do that is to love people. To love people means to care about them. We're going to see how much he cares about us. These verses here are unbelievable about how much he cares about us. And when he lives in us and he lives through us, we're going to care about other people in the same way. But people are hurting everywhere. The harvest is plenteous. We read earlier here last week in the previous chapter. No, actually the same chapter. No, just at the end of the last chapter. The harvest is plenteous, verse 37, but the workers are few. Not many mighty or noble after the flesh are called. There are not a lot of Christians really doing the work God has called. It's called a small flock. And so we want to make sure that we are a part of that body of Christ that is preparing to be married to our Savior, Jesus Christ, when he returns. He says, if the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? And so Satan is going to be doing anything he can. And it doesn't have to be a personal attack. Satan uses every kind of trick possible, anything to keep you away from this. Anything to keep you, because when you are studying the Bible, Satan hates you big time because you are listening to the one he hates. He got kicked out of heaven. He didn't like it. He came down here and he wants to destroy anything that looks like and even smells like Jesus. And so when you read the word, he's going to be after you and he's going to keep you from it. He's going to keep you occupied, to keep you so preoccupied that you don't have time for what God commands. Now, we know what those commands are, or those things, we read that in the previous, remember Acts chapter 2 and verse 42? Once Jesus Christ went back to heaven, he said, this is what my disciples are going to be doing. And they were devoted, Acts 2:42, they were devoted to what? Anybody remember? Devoted to prayer. That was number 4. Devoted to something else. Anybody know what it is? To fellowship. That's the fellowship that's critically important. Fellowship is where we gather together and we care for one another. We get to know one another. We talk together about things, how Jesus Christ is working in our lives. What's another one? The breaking of bread. Breaking of bread is communing with God. Now, it's not just the participation in the bread and the wine, that is the symbolic meaning. The real full meaning of that is that we are having the body of Jesus Christ and his blood communing in us, that his resurrected life is in us. We are communing with him. We're talking with him 24/7 saying, help me to become a true dedicated slave of yours. God loves slaves because he's a slave of his dad. He came down here and he was willing to die as his dad had asked him to do. And he wants us to be willing to die for him. Now, how do you die for him? That doesn't mean you have to go hang on a cross. It means you have to lay down your life for what he wants you to do instead of doing what you fancy, because that doesn't cut the mustard with God. So we're going to have an enemy who's out to get us, and we don't have to be afraid of him. Because notice what he says in verse 26. So do not be afraid of them. Them is talking about the one Satan uses. He may use a TV. He may use somebody that doesn't like you, that's annoying you and wants to go after you by just whatever way Satan wants to do. But Satan is the one that works through other individuals or even circumstances. Look at what he did to Jesus. He tried to overthrow Jesus in the wilderness there after he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And then Satan came and tried to eat his lunch, tried to blow him out of the water. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. In other words, make sure that the world is first. I'll give you the whole world. Well, that's what Satan is offering us. We live in the United States of world because everything you can possibly want is available to us. And it's a distraction incomprehensibly gigantic. Anything to keep you away from worship. And worship to God is one of two things he's looking for. Worship is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and being, and your neighbor as yourself. And the other thing he's looking for is gratitude or appreciation, thanking God for everything. And just realize that God is the source of everything. Those two things, once he knows that you're humble and you're willing to do what he wants you to do and put him first in everything, then he can give you power to change the world when he comes back. But if he can't trust you to take the time to put him first and to lay down your life to do what he wants you to do, because he spells it out here, what he wants. If he can't trust you to do that, you won't be in the first resurrection. The only people that are going to be in the first resurrection are those who are dead in Christ. And we need to be in Christ. And when you are in Christ, you are having Jesus Christ in you, working through you, fulfilling his will in your life. You don't have to be afraid. He says, don't be afraid. He says, you don't have anything to worry about. Because we think, well, I have to do all this. No, you don't have to do anything. Jesus Christ said, my Father who is in me, he does the works. You don't have to pull your hair out and say, I don't know if I'm measuring up. You already measure up if you have a close, intimate relationship with God. That's all he wants. He doesn't want you to change the world. He's going to do that. That's his job. We can't change anybody. We can't even change ourselves. But you build that relationship with God and be sure to ask for protection from the evil one, and then God will do it all. That's the good news. That's why it's good news. So don't be afraid of them. You don't have to be afraid of Satan. Satan can only do what God allows him to do. That's the whole story of the book of Job. We've mentioned that before, but that is such good news that Satan can't do anything. He's got to get permission from the one you're talking to all day long. And do you think God's going to say, sure, help yourself? Most likely not, but if he does, it's going to be for your best interest, guaranteed, because God loves you more than you love yourself. And so notice what it says. Don't be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. Right now, Satan is the deceiver of the whole world, and he is going to be exposed because he is going to be taken and cast into outer darkness for 1,000 years. It's in the book of Revelation chapter 20. Right now he's concealed. Everybody thinks that problems are happening and wars are happening just because of circumstances. No, it has nothing to do with circumstances. It has everything to do with the devil. The devil is the god of this world, and he is using the human nature that his nature that man has inherited from Adam and Eve, because when Adam and Eve disobeyed, they became, you know, whose servants you are, to whom you obey. Adam and Eve obeyed the serpent, and they became and took on his nature. And that was a part of God's plan. God knew that before it even happened. And God wanted us all to have a taste of the nature of Satan so that we will hate it, that we'll hate sin, that we will hate this deceitful nature that we have to deal with, because he's going to replace that when we're baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with the very nature of God. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ and the Father, living in us, giving us his character, his love, not ours, and his patience and so forth, as we've heard again and again. So verse 27 now says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight, and what is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. In other words, from the housetop doesn't mean you have to go up on the roof and start screaming. It just means don't be afraid to tell everybody. Now, how do you do that? It's called with wisdom. If you start preaching at people on the street, knocking on the doors and trying to convert them and so on, they're going to say, get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you. You've got to love people first. That's what Jesus did. He loved people. He listened to people. He cared for people. He prayed for people. We have opportunities to pray for people all the time. I pray for people all the time, everywhere I go. I pray for my neighbors. I pray right on the, you know, right. I said, if you'd like, you're going through a crisis. Well, why don't we just pray right now? Sure. Why not? I've only been turned down by one person in the hospital. No, I don't want to be prayed for. No problem. Help yourself. No, it's just, the thing is, there's so many people hurting, and most people are not going to turn down an opportunity for you to pray, because they know there is a God. Only a fool says in their heart, there is no God. And nobody wants to be a fool, but some people say that just so that they can feel like they're getting away with something, but they're just kidding themselves. They know better. You just don't have all of this appear out of nowhere. God is the one that brought it into being. So what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. Don't be afraid to share with people what God has done for you. And there's a time for that. There's a time for everything. But a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. We need to make sure that we choose that time appropriately. Ask God to open that door at just the right time, so that when you have the opportunity, that you are going to be received with blessing rather than cramming it down people's throats. Don't take your pearls. The gospel is like the pearl of great price. Don't cast it before pigs. A pig is somebody that's going to stomp it into the ground and say, we don't care anything about that. I don't need any pearls. Who wants to buy pearls around a pig's neck? So we don't take the gospel and cram it down people's throat or throw it at people that don't are not interested. But there are ways that you can sow seeds in people's lives that can produce later on because of your prayers. Because God is the one that calls people. We don't. And we can pray for those individuals. When somebody's going through a crisis and you pray with them, God can do things in their lives that nobody else can do. Because God can inhabit people. He can come right in and inspire somebody's mind and their spirit and their heart and everything. And so he says, don't hide this. Share it. You have opportunities. But the way you go about it makes all the difference in the world. By building friendships, spending time with people, by listening. Nobody wants somebody to be cramming stuff on them. Listen to people until they feel so comfortable around you that they will open up and share their struggles. And then you can have a short prayer with them if they so choose. Say, well, I know one thing. I went through something kind of like this, but maybe not exactly, but I know one thing. This is what happened to me after I prayed. And I've got lots of stories about people that have prayed for me and how God has intervened. My favorite story is when I went to St. Louis and this one associate pastor prayed for me when I had a major back problem. And the doctor said I was going to be in a wheelchair before I was 30 years of age. And he prayed for me and nothing happened. 10 days later, though, my back was completely healed. And I'll never forget that. I'm so grateful and so thankful that God answers prayers. And you never know what he's going to answer. Just because you pray with somebody, you don't have to expect God to do everything you ask him to do. He will do it, but not instantly. When Christ comes back, or when they're resurrected, all those prayers are going to be fulfilled anyway. But in the meantime, some of those situations, God knows what's best for that individual, and he's going to do for that person exactly what that person needs the most at that time, because God loves that person more than that person loves himself. He died for that person. And so that's why he wants us to be able to share with people love. That's the responsibility of true Christians, is to love people. God so loved everybody. Like it says back here, it says, he went through all the towns and villages teaching in all their synagogues. Don't be afraid to talk to anybody. I talk to people on elevators all the time. Just be friendly. You never know when you might meet them again. Or whatever. Just let the Holy Spirit flow out of you and shine into them, because you are the light of the world. And the light drives darkness away. And when you are around somebody, that darkness diminishes, because your light comes from God. And you don't have to be afraid. He tells us twice here, don't be afraid, because that darkness is the source of deception that Satan has created to deceive the whole world. Revelation 12 verse 9 says, Satan the devil has deceived the whole world. That's why the world is in darkness. And so he says, I tell you, in the dark, speak in the daylight. When you speak and bring it to light, what is whispered in your ear, as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the children of God. God speaks in your ear. Share with everybody. You proclaim from the housetops. Don't be afraid to share it with anybody, because that's what Jesus did. He went everywhere, talking to anybody. But he did it in such a way that they followed him because he loved them. That is the difference. He didn't try to get them to come to church. He didn't try to force them to do this. He didn't condemn them. He didn't find fault with them. He loved them because he said, it's like he says here, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's everybody, practically everybody you meet. So the field is ripe with harvest. Going on, he says, so what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. Don't be afraid. Don't hold back. You know, the love, that's how it starts, is with love. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetop. So do not be afraid of those who killed the body. Because you might be, like it says in Matthew 24, you might be brought before rulers and kings to give an answer for what you believe, if like they did with Jesus, and he ended up being crucified. I'm not saying that's going to happen to you or me, but We don't know what the future holds. But the good thing is, even if that does happen and we end up becoming a martyr, your troubles are over. And God is going to be right there with us no matter what. That's the beautiful thing, is if we have our eyes on the kingdom and the joy that is set before us in that first resurrection, when you have a spirit body that no longer can die and has no more pain, sorrow, suffering, and death, that is our dream that is a reality in the making. So do not be afraid of those that kill the body. They may think that they have authority, but they only have authority that God allows them to have. Whether they're a judge has no power over you compared to Jesus. And if God works through the judge and allows you to go into a prison or something like that, your ministry might be in prison. Maybe that's where God has people that he wants you to work with. I love prison ministry. My ministry changed from kids club to a prison ministry, which I go in every week. And those guys, now we had 18 this last time. And it was just so inspiring. And we had a baptism. Alejandro Mosso got baptized in jail. And it was so inspiring. It just brought everybody to tears. And all the prisoners were just enjoying it. So I think there are going to be more baptisms in the making. But it's just exciting to see how God can work in circumstances that I never dreamed possible. I've always thought, well, when I was in prison, you visited me. I've never been to prison. How do you do that? And God opened the door. So don't be afraid of those that kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. That's your life, because your life is in God. Jesus is your life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. They can't kill your life. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And this is not talking about burning forever in hell and all that garbage that you hear in some churches, because that's just not the way it is. Off the record, we can talk about it here. That is not the kind of God we worship. He loves the whole world. He loves the wicked. That's who's in this world today. They're all wicked. The wickedness of this world. He loves the wicked. We need to love the wicked, just hate the wickedness. That's the key. But those people that are struggling with all these things of wickedness and so on, that wickedness is going to be removed. And that's why God is preparing us to help this process of the removal of sin when Christ returns. That's why God sent his son into the world to do away with sin in Matthew 1:28. So what is this hell that is being talked about here? This is what can happen, because at the very end, before the new heavens and new earth, God is going to completely purify the world by fire, because at that time, everybody will either be a spirit being or they won't be. And spirit beings are not affected by fire. So at that time, before the new heavens and the new earth, everything that is wicked and everything is going to be burned up. And if somebody refuses to repent, which they would have to be an abject idiot to not repent, but some people might choose to be that. The Bible calls that foolishness. Only a fool says in their heart, there is no God. And after Jesus Christ comes back and he transforms the world, and somebody still doesn't want to repent and they refuse and they want to become rebellious and they worship Satan the devil, well, that's what's going to happen. They'll be cast into the lake of fire and they will be burned up. And under the new heavens and the new earth, there's still going to be ashes there, and where the righteous will walk upon the ashes of the wicked. But you don't have to worry. He says, don't worry about any of that, because as long as you have your faith in Jesus Christ, you have your future guaranteed. Guaranteed. And that's why the gospel is good news. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows, now here's the part that's so beautiful. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And that can be better translated, without your Father's knowledge. In other words, God is aware. Do you know that sparrow wouldn't even be alive if Jesus wasn't in that sparrow? It's called life. Life comes from Jesus. He's the creator. He is the one that gives that. That's why he is omnipresent. Jesus, Holy Spirit, the Father, they inhabit your praises. We don't understand the spirit world. We just know one thing. God is everywhere. And we'll find that out when we're like them, and we'll see exactly how that all works. But we know one thing. He knows when any sparrow dies. And if he knows about every sparrow that dies, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows, because sparrows are not made in the image of God. But he still loves them and he cares about them. And if he cares about and he knows about and sparrows and he feeds them and supplies all their needs and so on, how much more is he going to take care of us, is the point. That he really cares about us. And so he goes on to say, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Because God is looking to train us to become his personal assistants, to become his wife, the very bride of Jesus Christ. He wants to be able to know that he can trust us to take care of the children of the family, because that's what we'll be doing. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Say, here's one of my beloved children here that's doing exactly what I want. Please bless them. Take care of them, because I am well pleased with them. They are doing exactly what I've asked them to do. But whoever disowns me before men, in other words, when they're around other people and they don't even give God the time of day, and they're not really fulfilling the will of God and so on, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. God's going to say, well, what about so-and-so? Well, he's just doing his own thing. He's not doing what I asked him to do. He hardly ever reads the Bible. So I don't think we can trust him. What else is he going to say? Because he's the truth. And he's going to tell the truth to his dad. And so whoever disowns me, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. That's one of the basic principles in the Bible. So verse 34, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace. Now here you're going to hear some heavy duty stuff now. Get ready. Put your boots on. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Why in the world would a loving God pull something like that? You know why? Because he loves us. Now, how can that be the love of God? Well, that takes the Holy Spirit to understand how that works. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you see that God has a plan to make you reign with him over this entire earth. And as we've mentioned many times, you're in boot camp. You're in preparation. You're being prepared for kingship, for rulership over this entire earth. And how are you going to do that if everything is peachy dandy? He's got to know that when the going gets rough, the rough get going. When things are not going well for you, you never give up. You're just not a quitter. God can't give eternal life to a quitter because he can't trust them. Well, I just never know when they're going to quit. And so when he sees a consistency in our lives where we never quit our relationship with God, we never quit doing what God wants us to do, that we continue praying and say, God, I don't deserve anything, but I thank you that your grace is sufficient for me, that you have given me everything, and that you have a plan for me that is beyond my wildest dreams, and I don't want to do anything to mess that up. And so when you've got problems with your family and so on, that is a golden opportunity to love your enemies. Your enemy is just somebody that's not on the same wavelength. They're on opposing viewpoints. So what? You don't have to be afraid. God loves your children just as much as he loves you. And all we need to do is continue praying for them, because that may be the reason why he hasn't called them, is to keep us praying. Who knows? God knows what he's doing. We don't have to know. We just know he has designed it this way for a reason. And God always has a good reason for everything. And so when this happens, we can just give God the glory and just say, God, thank you for opening my eyes to see why this is the way that it is. And that if somebody hates me in my household, my job is not to ignore them, but to love them. And loving them is not enough. Because he says plainly, if we read the scriptures, do good to those that hate you. And if you don't do good, you are disobedient to God. Wow, that's a revelation. That's why we come to church. You find out what the truth is, and the truth will set you free from ignorance. Do good to those who hate you. You can read it in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's all about Matthew 5. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. But God just has a whole different way of ruling, and it's called faith. Faith is where you do exactly what God commands you to do. Whether you like it or not, it's irrelevant. Just ask God to help you to enjoy every minute of it, because he is going to reward you. He says when he comes back, his reward is with him to give every person according to his work in you, because it's his work that makes the difference, not your work. But when he's working in you, you're going to do exactly what Jesus commands, because you are a slave. And a slave does exactly what his master commands him to do, whether he likes it or not. And if you really want to get along with your boss, you learn to love it. And then when you love it, God blesses you beyond your wildest dreams, guaranteed. So verse 37 says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Because a lot of times people, they worship their families. Well, I brought this child into the world. I've got to do everything to try, make their life easy. Oh, garbage. You don't have to make their life easy. Love them, but don't enable them, and so on. Ask God to work through you so that you can deal with them the way Jesus wants you to work with them, not the way you want to work in their life. And God will whisper that in your ear. It says here, what he speaks in your ear, proclaim from the housetops, tell the truth. But anytime you love family more than God, you're not worthy of me, because they're not going to give you eternal life. Jesus is the only one that can give you eternal life. So don't worship your family. You love them. Even if they hate you, you love them anyway, and you're doing good, and you help them and do whatever you can to be a blessing to them. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Your cross is, you may be in a situation that is overwhelming, and you just say, I can't deal with this. I'm done. No, anytime you're done, you're a quitter. You've got to endure. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved from the situation. God will deliver us. Whoever finds his life will lose it. If you're just trying to make your life easy, you're going to lose out. Jesus didn't have an easy life. He was devoted to being a servant. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Whoever finds his life will lose it, this physical, materialistic life, because you just can't do what you want to do. You can't just go out and worship money. You can't go out and spend all your time pursuing the what this world is pursuing, because that's not God's agenda. He says, I'm seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, I'll just dump the rest of that stuff in your lap, but don't pursue it. I'll give it to you. But you give your life to me first so I can trust you to do what I command you to do first. And whoever loses his life for my name's sake will find it. I'll just give it to you. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives the one who sent me. So when you receive Jesus and his words, you're receiving God the Father. You have access into the Holy of Holies with God the Father. And anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. If you take what one of the prophets in the Bible is saying and you put it into action, or someone giving a sermon and you say, well, I don't like that, but, you know, then all you're going to do is miss out on the reward that is being spoken to you. Anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. God is a giver. He wants to give you everything. And he wants to tell you the truth so the truth can set you free from all the deception that Satan is pummeling us with, these fiery darts from the wicked one 24/7. So that you can just think you can just do whatever you want. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple. If somebody comes alongside you and wants to help you along the way, God says, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. And so there may be somebody else who wants to be joined with you in ministry or whatever to do God's work and so on. That's what Jesus did. He called 12 disciples, but he sent them out two by two. And what a blessing to participate with somebody else. If you want to stay on track, find somebody that also is on track and wants to do the same thing and work together. Because anyone who gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, just if you just help out, participate, then God's going to give you a reward for that, a blessing. And the reward is not eternal life. Eternal life is the gift. A reward is for something you did, and because you brought a cup of cold water to someone, or you just helped somebody along the way, because Jesus Christ inspired you to do that, you will not lose your reward. You will, when he comes back, he will have a reward for you, in addition to the eternal life that will be a guarantee. And so, God's word is priceless. It is just phenomenal what he's got in store for us. And the scriptures here, these verses that are right here, demonstrate that this is a revolutionary responsibility of true Christians. It's revolutionary. It's completely upside down from what everybody else would think God would expect. But when we do things the way God wants us to do, he is going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you are so good, that you are good to the core, that you are a giver, that you are a servant, that you care about us, that you are involved in everything that we do. It's all through the Proverbs, that you're the one that makes the decisions about everything. And human beings that are in charge of things just think they're in charge, but you're the one that's in charge. And God, we just thank you that we can trust you and that you always have our best interest at heart. And so, Father, we just ask you to open our hearts and to give us receptive minds and spirits so that everything that we read as we study your word and that we worship you and as we seek your will in our lives, that we are willing to be your slaves, your servants, and that we are willing to lay down our lives for you as you have already done for us. And we give you all the praise and the thanks from the bottom of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.